DW.
Hey guys, we have a new patient. Hey, yes. How are you, sir? I'm Dr. Mula Mdenga. We are going to take care of you. He's an irresponsive. Call for CPR. I'm starting chest compressions. Go. Safe.
No one will die here because it's a training exercise. Dr. Mula Mdenga is doing his compressions on a course to turn him into an emergency physician. Today he's a student doctor in charge of solving the make-believe crisis of someone who isn't breathing. Muller's leading a team of about five other student doctors as they try to find this patient's heartbeat.
Defibrillate the patient.
Shock delivered.
A group of other student doctors is watching Muller and his team in the controlled chaos of a medical emergency. Everyone here is doing the course at Tanzania's Muhimbili National Hospital in Dar es Salaam. 20 are from Tanzania, one's from India, and then there's Muller.
Do you have pass?
Yep.
Yes. Stop. Okay, stop CPR.
Muller's from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the care he's giving here isn't common in his country and many others. Muller's a resident doctor at the Heal Africa Hospital in Goma, which knows all about life and death situations.
I don't know if you heard about the war in Congo. Killings, stab wounds. Okay, we received many. They were crying, and it was sad. We are losing some patients because we don't recognize the emergency thing, what to do at a particular time.
The fighting in DRC continues, and there's other problems. Outbreaks of diseases like cholera and meningitis can bring life-threatening symptoms. And as Muller can tell you, giving birth in Africa can also be a matter of life or death.
My wife needed a cesarean section because the baby was in bradycardia, it means cardiac beat was low. At the hospital, no one could do a proper resuscitation.
So Muller did it himself.
When the baby cried, myself, I cried.
After that, Muller swore he'd become an emergency physician. Now he's a star student on Muhimbili's emergency medicine postgrad.
Thank you for all the team for your great job. Thank you so much.
At the end of the training exercise, Muller thinks about what might have happened if the same exercise had been done on a real patient on a ward at Heal Africa.
At my hospital, we have defibrillator like this one, but I didn't know how to use it.
My plan is to start training people. So far, I don't know any emergency physician in Congo.
Muller wants to open an ER in Goma because he says emergency medicine isn't a specialty in DRC. That's true for most of sub-Saharan Africa. Henry Salway, the doctor who runs a training here at Muhimbili, describes what usually happens in an emergency.
There is a doctor waiting for you to walk in and explain your problems, and then he'll write prescriptions or admit you without doing that much, which means you can die on a queue waiting to be seen by a doctor.
That's how it used to work in Tanzania, says Henry, until Muhimbili's emergency department opened.
We treat you here and make sure you don't have life-threatening or long-term mobility issues, and then we decide whether you qualify to be admitted. If you don't, we will stay with you until you are stable enough.
Around 60,000 patients a year use Muhimbili's ER. It's the first of its kind in Tanzania. Dr. Juma Mufananga runs it.
Since we opened our emergency department in 2010, we reduced the mortality of the hospital from 13.6% to 8.2%.
Juma, Hendry, and other doctors are sitting around a table listening to Muller's plans for saving lives in DRC.
Do you have any suggestion, please, Dr. Hendry?
You need a group of people working with you to ensure the sustainability of the program. Otherwise,
and that's one of Muller's biggest challenges when he goes back to Goma.
Sometimes people do not understand what I'm doing. They don't know much about emergency skills.
Muller will have to persuade Congolese doctors that emergency medicine makes sense. He'll be up against an African system where doctors often expect a fee before giving treatment. And even if Muller can infect doctors with his own passion for emergency care, an ER needs equipment.
The one big challenge is resource.
Emergency care is expensive. It's the reason why most poor countries don't have it. And although Juma goes on to say his emergency department won't turn anyone away because of money, most patients are expected to pay at least some of the bill.
We are trying to find the way how we can have the system which is self-sustainable to provide the emergency care across the country, regardless of the ability to pay.
Until that happens, the sick and injured are depending on projects like this one in Mwanza in northern Tanzania. This is where trainee doctor Marco Hingi is making fake blood. Today he's mixing it for a simulated accident on the streets of Mwanza.
We imagine our patient have got a road traffic accident and is bleeding.
Help, help, help.
But in this simulation, it's not an ambulance rushing to the scene. It's a motorbike. Ambulance services are a costly part of emergency care. Like many African countries, Tanzania doesn't have a national toll-free number linked to a fleet of ambulances. Marco thinks he's found an alternative.
It's a very simple system. We use what we have. We need to have internet connection. We need to have mobile phones. We need to have first responders who are connected to the system.
That's where motorcycle taxi drivers come in. Mwanza has hundreds of them. Wherever there's an emergency, there's likely to be a taxi driver nearby. Marco and his group, the Tanzania Rural Health Movement, have recruited some of the drivers to help. They're linked to software made by the American organisation Trek Medics International. It's called Beacon and sends Marco's drivers to where they're needed.
When emergency event happen, they just got notification via SMS and then they can go to respond.
Volunteer driver Anisette Massa uses today's simulation to practice the first aid skills Marco has taught him.
I decided to do this job to help the community. When I find someone injured and he's bleeding, I make sure I stop the bleeding.
This community-driven ambulance service helped save Adrian Ibrahim's life when his car flipped over.
After that accident took place, I was under the car. Then people helped take me out of the car. Then within a very short time, the rescue people arrived and helped me.
Marco sees another happy result of these motorbike ambulances.
Motorcycle drivers, they are blamed that they are causing accidents. But now we invented it. So now motorcycle drivers, they are life-saving people.
Thank you.
Muller has never met Marco, but they're brothers in arms. Two African doctors trying to show that people don't need to die. Ross Velton, DW, Tanzania.
DW.